You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. I'm talking about local, state, and national, covering down on all the issues, and like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, it is, what day is this? Tuesday. It's Tuesday already. How do we get to Tuesday? But yeah, it's Tuesday, and I am, by the way, broadcasting from a secret, undisclosed location. But Boomer is holding down the fort and running the board. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Hey, doing good.
Do I sound like I'm in an undisclosed location, like a secret bunker?
You are in a secret bunker, yes.
We shall not disclose the location.
I may have to put up a picture for everybody to see it who's watching.
Oh, are you putting the, okay.
Not right now. In a minute, I will.
All right. No, that's all good. All right. Hey, listen, welcome to it. Tuesday, we got plenty of stuff on tap for you. Great show lined up. So 3:30 p.m. today, you're going to want to stay tuned. Becky Gerritsen of the Eagle Forum of Alabama will be on the air with us talking about what's going on with the Price Act, the school choice bill. She's one of those grassroots folks who's been in the mix on this, pushing hard for it. The Eagle Forum is always one of the more conservative groups out there, like the Alabama Policy Institute, that does good things. And so, yeah, Becky Gerritsen, 3:30, you're going to want to stay tuned for that. And then 4 o'clock today, the bill sponsor again, State Senator Larry Stutz. I wrote a piece and then I did a monologue yesterday about what happened when he went to committee last week in good faith and argued his bill in a public hearing in which a lot of people who support this school choice opportunity had driven down to be a part of it, only to find out that, the teachers union had gotten things worked out in their favor and the bill was not voted on. And they decided to take it out of that committee and, just send it to another committee and start all over. So we'll talk to State Senator Larry Stutz, get the latest updates from him as to how things are going and what he expects. And then we got a whole triple dipper full of stuff. So, Boomer, hit it.
The triple dipper. 3 stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, 3 stories, 3 themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. I'm starting off, we got news breaking literally as the show is about to start. Border chaos, I'm calling it. It's chaos. It's going to get worse, too, by the way. You know, it's a heck of a thing when a doctor looks at you and says, we're going to make you well, but you're going to get worse before you get better. Well, that's where our southern border is. There's a chance to make this right. Will the administration do it? Doubtful right now. But we know this, it's going to get worse for a while. And I'll tell you all about it. Border chaos, number one on the triple dipper. And then number two, well, you know the deal. Man, sometimes I'm resourcing the show and I get just about at the point of overwhelmed by the ludicrousness, the ridiculousness, the absolute outlandishness of the things that go on in adventures in woke world. So yeah, that's coming up number two on the triple dipper. We'll have those discussions with Becky Gerritsen and State Senator Larry Stutz. And then assuming we have time, all y'all that prod me to get my triple dippers in, we'll see, because dipper number three, I'm calling it flipping the script. I have never seen such mistruths, like outright lies by an administration ever. It's one thing to spin, try to talk about the good, not the bad. It's another thing altogether, just freaking lie. Well, we're seeing that a lot right now. So we'll talk about that. Number three on the triple dipper is going to be called flipping the script. All right, well, listen, I'm gonna get into my monologue here, and I got to tell you, if you were listening yesterday, you heard me do one of my dippers for the day. I entitled it Enabling the Theater of the Absurd. Well, the more I thought about that, the more I kind of pieced it out in my mind, I just had to spend more time on that particular topic, Enabling the Theater of the Absurd. So keep those two parts in mind. Enabling is one, Theater of the Absurd is the other. So my whole point in talking through that segment, though, is that stupid stuff happens. There are stupid people all around us who will do stupid stuff. And the only thing that can keep them in check, though, is for other folks to point out the stupidity and stop enabling it. So if you're not familiar, first of all, I'll back up and say, if you're not familiar with the theater of the absurd, I don't blame you. It's an art form that frankly sounds depressing, even nihilistic, as it abandons hope in its portrayal of the world. Theater of the absurd is a real thing, though. It was known as a dramatic movement, a socially purposed form of live theater or plays, with no other purpose except to portray that, here's a quote for you, man's quest for meaning and truth is a futile endeavor. Wow, sounds entertaining. It started in the wake of World War II. It lasted roughly 45 years. If you read up on it via some of the more lofty artsy reviews and lesson plans, it'll sound as if the arts world has moved on to greater things. That's why it stopped. In my view, it's more likely there was no audience. People can only go so far into hearing that there's no hope or woe is me and why should I try before they turn away from it. In my view, it's more likely that the so-called theater of the absurd faded into obscurity because the world quit enabling the moody, self-absorbed productions that came from it. But as another part of my really eclectic resume, I will tell you, I used to work in a treatment center doing counseling with troubled kids, some of whom were very troubled, often had been abused, and with any number of drug addictions in their background. All of their experiences, though, had ended up putting them in a position of needing deeper help. And sometimes those kids, they responded like champs, man. They just needed some help getting focused, someone to empower them. But sometimes, though, those kids had some very serious behavioral issues that manifested in all kinds of ways, like self-harm and suicide attempts and disruptive and sometimes criminal behavior. Well, time and again, though, we saw that the families were generally one of two kinds. The families of the kids were either, one, the kind that made the situation worse by being the ones who created the actual behavior, or two, the kind that made the situation worse by enabling the bad behavior. So to enable something, what it actually means is you allow it by encouraging it to go on. To choose to avoid conflict, you know, or to deal with a painful or difficult situation by trying to reduce the pain instead of dealing with the actual problem. I mean, here's an image. We've all seen this happen. A child throws a tantrum in Walmart. The mom of the child is mortified. She's embarrassed. She hates people might be looking at her. So what does she do? She tells the child she'll buy him a toy if he'll just behave. Well, the child stops screaming, gets a toy, but the child logs it away for the rest of his days that apparently screaming gets rewarded. And just like that, the mom has unfortunately enabled some bad behavior, and it gets worse from there. The next toy is bigger. Then the toys become behaviors. Then the behaviors become lifestyles, and it gets bigger and bigger. If no one says no. All right, now take those two concepts. Apply them to life in the United States. Theater of the absurd. It portrays life as helpless, dismal, endless effort for no gain, right? And then there's the enabling part. Theater of the absurd, though, the helpless, dismal, endless effort for no gain part, that's exactly what the left will attempt to portray to you at every turn. You think about it. Enabling that thought process is exactly what too many have done and therefore created the position by the left to always scream, always act out, and expect more, and they do. I mean, think this through. When the left makes basis of its arguments victimization, doom, and destruction, everything's bad, woe is me, well, they come at you and they do things like, here's an example, the environmental movement and all of its green energy demands. It's rooted in the concept that the earth is going to die on our watch if we don't make an endless stream of changes. So the politicians and the corporations and the media, they cater to them. And they realize that they can ask for more. It's not enough to get celebrities just to save the whales anymore. Now it's moved up to a multi-billion-dollar enterprise to revise the way we cook, the way we drive, the way we eat. And all of it's funded by politicians who enable the behavior further by passing outlandish appropriations to help prop it up. Nobody said no. And thus, they were enabled to always want more. Or how about this one? The transgender movement is that way. I mean, for years, it was just don't ask, don't tell. We are victims, they said. The AIDS epidemic, it's not our fault. What an adult does in the privacy of their home, their relationship should not be of anyone else's concerns. And so society enabled the gay movement, which became the LGBTQ2IA+, whatever acronym movement, which became a movement then that did away with the legal foundations for marriage between a man and a woman, which became a movement which is now making it acceptable to surgically alter and chemically castrate minor children. Because the corporations and the politicians and the media just enabled them. No one said no. They always got a little more, and thus they were enabled to always want a little more. I mean, we see the absurdist mentality from the left at every turn. There was a day when we were all Americans, regardless of our day-to-day differences, but now on the world stage, the left has gone from protests at home to protests at large to bowing and apologizing for being America, all the way up to abandoning U.S. citizens and allies and resources in Afghanistan. We see it on our southern border, as the absurd leftist policies were first soft on immigration, then they were enabled to become pursuers of so-called dreamers, and now on to the point that we apparently have no southern border at all. I mean, the absurd mindset of the left will tell us that the great land of opportunity is really built on the backs of racism, ableism, extremism, intolerance, greed, And now with that behavior enabled, we have the Secretary of Transportation determined to fix racist roads and the Secretary of Defense stopping all training to root out extremism in the ranks. Time and again, the corporations, the politicians, and the media have just simply enabled this bad behavior like a tired parent in Walmart, and therefore have encouraged it to grow and to go on. So yeah, thinking back to that drama, the thing I called it earlier, the theater of the absurd, that art form finally died out. And not because it was a winner. Not because it inspired people to hope and empowered their dreams. Quite the opposite. Society quit enabling the theater of the absurd because there's only so much ridiculous despair and victimization that people can stand. Well, it's well past time for the bulk of our society, that's you and me and that's all you know, to stop enabling the absurdities of the left and let them wither on the vine too. You see, there is hope. We are America. And I, for one, am just tired of it. Let's stop enabling the bad behavior. Start saying no and stop telling them they can have a little bit more because it never stops. That's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, yeah, we saw it time and again in the counseling center. You know, bad behavior. They scream, they want more. Parents don't know what to do, so they give them a little more. It gets worse. And the reality is this. You've got to say no and set parameters. You've got to set boundaries. The same is true for the screaming left who demand at every turn that we give them a little bit more. And I'm going to tell you, they're never content. They will always want more. And we've got to start saying no. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time, broadcasting today, by the way, from a secret undisclosed location, a bunker deep underground, and the text lines are already open, so if you want to text in, you want to call in, the number's the same, 833-687-4448, that's 833-68-RIGHT. If you text in for the very first time, tell us your first name, where you're from. You'll text the word right side. You'll get an automated message back that says, hey, you right side ruffian, welcome to the show or something like that. And then you'll just tell us, you know, your first name, where you're from. We'll plug you in with all the scads. Boomer, how many scads do we have? I mean, we're like, we're
hundreds and hundreds of scads.
I'm just talking about we're going to be in the thousands for too long.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
Like I see another one. We just got another one. Kelly from Hamilton just logged in for the very first time on the text line. So
Kelly,
there's your brand new one to log in, boom. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, I got a caller already. Is that Wolverine Dan? Line one, Wolverine Dan over Madison. How you doing, buddy?
Well, your first segment, you talked about bad behavior, and I thought, Hunter Biden. Let's talk about
the role model of bad behavior.
Yeah, he's the mascot. There you go. Hey, listen, you have a legal law degree, correct?
I do indeed.
Good. Okay. I think you did. You're a smart guy. Anyway, I went to school of hard knocks, okay? So that's the kind of degree I got. But anyway, enough of that. But let's talk about Hunter. What a wonderful human being. You know, they sent him to court in Arkansas. It's in Arkansas. They sent him to court for child support. And I think Governor Sanders will make sure it's going to be in Arkansas. My question is, the judge sounds like she's got, well, I'll say it's a girl. It is a girl judge. She's got some stones. I mean, she's holding his feet to the fire, and she's doing what she has to do. But here's my question to you.
All right.
We all know that Hunter's at the White House, and the reason why he's at the White House, because I guess you can't serve papers or something because it's a hollow place, I guess, as far as, not to me, but somebody else. But the bottom line, he can't get served. But anyway, for some reason, it did work out where he had to show up to court. Of course, he files out of the back door of the courthouse, you know. He's that kind of guy. And I feel bad for Hunter because he's sleeping probably on a cot. you know, in a small little room, no sheets or nothing, you know, right. Yeah, he's in the Lincoln room is where he's sleeping. Oh, my God. But the thing I'm asking you, now this judge is standing her ground, and they're making the Hunter do this. Now, how do I say this? Can the government say, okay, if you're going to do this to our beloved son of the president, from now on we're going to let you be a judge over parking tickets? Can they do that to her?
They cannot. I don't know for a fact. Every state's different, but I would anticipate that judge is elected, and she was elected for that position. And even if she was appointed, it's a state court, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong on that, too. I didn't look to see because I wasn't tracking this one real tight. But the end result is no. You can't be dethroned simply because you presided over a court. If that's the case, any number of people who've been hauled into court, you know, could have gone to their buddies in high power and been able to have somebody. In fact, a federal court judge, if that's what this is, serves at what they call it for life or good cause, meaning you're there for as long as you want to until you choose to retire or until you're removed from office because you've been impeached for what they call good cause, which has to be pretty serious.
Well, I think we're all cheering for the judge, and we're cheering for the state of Arkansas. Let's do something about this. Let's make an example of this, I should say, sleazeball. I was going to say young man. This sleazeball, nasty human being, thinks he owns the world because his daddy's a big shot, all right? Why don't we... Let's set an example and give him the full amount of the law we can give him. Don't you agree?
I totally agree. I mean, and what we're finding here is it's not just a legal matter like, is that my laptop, which is a big deal. This is one where he actually has a child he is not taking care of. He's not looking out for the best interest of the child. He's not providing that child with an opportunity. He's choosing to even disenfranchise the child by not wanting to be a daddy. You know, I had a sign... Anybody can be a father. It takes someone special to be a daddy. Look what you got here.
That's right. Well, in my closing, real quickly, first off, I agree with you about being a father. It's easy to make babies. That's easy, but you got to raise them. But here's the thing I wanted to say, is that four-year-old little girl, she deserves everything she deserves to get, and I hope she gets a whole bunch. But I don't think the one thing I wouldn't want is the Biden name, because as far as I'm concerned, the thing a little bit lower than Biden and not too far away from being the Biden is a slug under a rock, and that's pretty much what I think of them.
All right. Wolverine Dan out there in Madison, appreciate you, man. Thanks for calling in. So, I mean, yeah, I've not dived into the Hunter Biden, you know, question of custody and, you know, parenting and whether or not he has – provided child support in an adequate level, and for that matter, why he would try to prevent the child from being allowed to use his last name, because I don't think there's any denying. I think it's already a given that this is his child. But, you know, we'll see. But all said and done, it's pretty unseemly. And I can tell you right now, if this was Donald Trump Jr., it would be an epic level of, you know, press coverage and legal pundits from all over the world providing opportunity to dissect it ad nauseum. And, not here. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back.